Well, it's already been good to be in the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
You know, I guess the Lord had put on my heart to join the church last week. And I said, well, I'll just wait till somebody wants to do it. Didn't happen, so I thought I got away scot-free. Until my lovely wife looked at me last Sunday while we was heading home. She said, you know, I felt like I needed to join. I said, well, I did too. And we went over to Brother Jeff's house last night, and I had talked to him a little bit about maybe doing so. And he said, well, I guess you're going to join tomorrow, ain't you? I said, no, we might wait. You know, when the Lord puts something on your heart to do it, we need to do it. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would have free course, that it would be able to freely move amongst us. And the only way that the word of the Lord would be able to freely move amongst his people is if his people follows his spirit. And I know I know it sort of seemed a little hypocritical. We preach about following the spirit and didn't do it ourselves. And for that, I do apologize. But I tell you, there's times that we need to get ourselves out of the way. Our self-pride and self-righteousness, I guess would be the right word, will get in the way of the blessings that God has in store if we don't deny ourselves and follow Him. So this morning, let us just be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and let us do that which is pleasing to Him. Before we get any further, I wonder if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts this morning. If not, turn with me to the 44th chapter or division of the book of Psalms. The 44th chapter or division of the book of Psalms. And we're going to start with the first verse. Psalms 44 and verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah. And I'm going to stop right there, and that is reading the first 8 verses of the 44th Psalm. And where I feel like the Lord is leading us to focus on is the first verse. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us that work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. You know, there's times that, and I'm a big history buff. There's times that I love looking through not only just history, but church history. I love reading about how the people of God in those days got so serious about serving God, got so serious about soul salvation, that it seemed like they let nothing stand in their way. And I remember, and I can tell you this, I remember as a young boy growing up in church, and some churches still do it today in Tennessee and parts of Kentucky. When they have their week revival, they do morning and night services. And some people in the church, in the history, they set that time aside, that full week, to be serious about serving God. And they done morning and nighttime services. So I guess we can sort of figure out how wore out those people must have been. But you see, they let none of this world stand in their way for serving God. And you know, because of that, we read about how there have been revivals of maybe 20, 30, maybe 50 people of getting saved. And praise God for that. But I believe that God still has that same power this morning. And I believe that it's just up to God's people whether or not we get serious about the work of God. It rings in my ears of services of long ago where people would say that the church house be so full they'd have to raise up the windows so that the people outside could hear. That can still happen today, folks. God has not lost any bit of His power, but His people have drawn far from Him. You know, we allow the things of this world to stand in our way. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the main word that you would read in the book of Ecclesiastes is the word called vanity. We read in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes how wise man Solomon had said that he set forth to do that which pleased his heart. And so he got him a big bunch of land, got a lot of vineyards, built him a mighty house, maybe done all this wondrous work in this world. But you see, at the end of the day, he still said, "This is vanity." That word vanity means amounting to absolutely nothing. How many times do we spend our time or spend our week with things that are vanity, that don't amount to a hill of beans, is what I like to say. They amount to nothing. They don't help us draw closer to God. Matter of fact, some of the things of this world help us draw farther and farther from God if you allow it to happen. And folks, I tell you, that is part of the problem today in the church of the true and living God, is that we allow the world and Satan to draw us as far as it can from God. Because we'd rather spend our time maybe on social media, maybe going out in the world and doing all this quote-unquote fun things that just please our flesh. But I tell you what really is pleasing is following that Spirit of God. I love it how God just allows my cup to run over from time to time. Oh, and I wish that could happen each and every time I go in His house. But you know, there's a reason why I don't. Because there's some things that stand in my way. There's some things that just pop in the back of my mind that shouldn't. As Satan puts in there, and let me tell you what, that too is sin. But you know, I believe we can ask God to help us out with these. And I believe that we can hold on to His unchanging hands. But we hear about, as this first verse says, we've heard with our ears, we've heard these things that have happened in the past that our fathers and our forefathers have told us about how God has had reached down and it seemed like the heavens open up and fill the places up with His power and His Spirit, and how souls get saved, and the church was just eager to serve God. And folks, all that too can still happen today. You know, you don't have to wait. I believe the church set their revival for the second Sunday night of June, correct? We don't have to wait for the second Sunday night in June to have a revival. Folks, we can have a revival this very moment if we desire it with all our hearts. We can have a revival. We can have a great service. We can see the Lord just blow this place up if we wanted to. We could see Him do mighty and wondrous works because God has not lost a drop of His power. We read, I believe, in the book of Acts about the day of Pentecost. And what is it? About 3,000 got saved that day. A lot of our preachers would pass out in the pulpit if we ever saw that. But I tell you what, that can still happen today. That can still happen if we just free up our hearts and minds and be like Isaiah and say, God, here am I. Use me to the best capacity and the capability that You would want me to be used. You know, we're in God's house. I want to make that very clear. We're in God's house. And since we are in God's house, you know what I believe? We are on God's time. You know, we don't need to be worried about the football game or something that's going on out there in the world. You know what I used to do growing up? My daddy was such a long-winded preacher, man. He preached for about an hour, hour and a half on some Sundays. And growing up, I'd say, man, I wish this dude would just shut up so that way we could just go on, have some Cracker Barrel, because I am starving. Folks, I tell you, we need to be starving for the Word of God. We need to be starving with what God wants us to be, wants us to have. We need to be eager to serve God. We need to have some excitement about us when we come into God's house. I tell you what, I love singing praises unto my Lord. As a matter of fact, I think singing is a very essential part in the service. But you know what the Bible says? It says, comfort one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual singing. I love singing praises to God. But I really love it when we sing and it seems like our heart is upon those things. And you know, and it seems like when we sing, we mean the words that we're singing. You know, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. Just a little talk of Jesus makes it right. Folks, we don't just need to be singing it. We need to be meaning it. We don't just need to be having a lip service. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, this people is in vain worships me, for they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where is your heart at with God this morning? I'm not just asking those that are lost, but those that are saved, where is your heart at with God? Are you seeking treasures on things above? Is your heart on things above? Or is it on things of this earth? Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Folks, we don't need to be worried about what's happening in this world. You know, I know that we still have this virus, this sickness that we're dealing with. But I tell you what, God is much more stronger than that. He is a whole lot bigger than this. And in the history of the churches of old, they'd have tent meetings. And you know what? They'd have it whether it was blistering hot or freezing cold outside, because they were worried about those that were lost. We need to be having that same worry in our hearts. We need to be having that same alert in our hearts. You know what? We read in Sunday school about seeking the opportunity. We need to seek opportunities to tell people about God and His Son, how He died for us, you know. But I'll tell you this, Paul wrote to the church at Colossae before he left. He said, brethren, pray for us that a door of utterance will be open. That doors will just be open. You know, sometimes I think God has already opened up doors, but He's just seeing if we want to walk through them or not. Folks, we need to seek opportunities. We need to seek the door that God opens up. And if it means standing in a McDonald's and in the dining room of McDonald's with a crowd full of people and say, this is what the Lord done for me one day, then do it. Whether it might be standing up in church and saying, brother, I got a song that the Lord has placed on my heart to sing, do it. Because you never know who the Lord is going to touch with that. You might have the very keys this morning to bust these doors wide open, or to allow the Lord to bust the doors wide open. But if we sit down on Him, folks, what a shame that is, to sit down on our Lord. What a terrible feeling that is. I tell you what. You know, I believe in a loving God. And I do believe that love is a doctrine that the Bible teaches. But I believe in the chastising hand of God. And I tell you what. If the Lord has put some on your hearts and you don't do it, then God bless you and have mercy on your soul. Because I tell you what. The next week will be the longest week of your life. You know, last Sunday when the Lord put on my heart to join, wouldn't do it. You know how many whippings I had to lash. I had to take this week before we could even come. And I was saying, Lord, let's hurry up for Sunday to come because this is killing me. This is just brutal. Folks, don't sit down on God. For your sake and for those that are lost. There's a reason, you know, there's a reason why God puts certain things in our heart. But I tell you what, there's a reason why the church, there's a reason why we read about these services of long ago and don't see them much anymore, because our heart is far and far and far from God. There's a reason why we don't see them, because we don't have that same desire like our forefathers did. And that breaks my heart. Because there's a world full of lost souls that need to hear about how Jesus came and died for our sins. You know, following the Lord is really, really, really important. Having a great service is really, really important. You know, the last two Sundays, I've really enjoyed myself, and I've been glad to say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I tell you what, I would really love to just go away and say that we've been revived, because I believe that's what God wants for His church, for her to prosper, for her to grow, for her to be nourished. That's what He wants. But it's our fault for stepping away from that. You know, we read throughout the Bible and throughout, I believe, as the book of Proverbs, how the wise men said, the wise men said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of the way thereof are the ways of death. And that can go both ways, to the lost and to the saved. But I can tell you this, just because it's pleasing to your eyes, don't mean it's pleasing to God's eyes. Just because you think you'd be happy with it, don't mean that that's what God wants. What we read in the book of Genesis, how God told Adam and Eve that you can eat of all the trees except what? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? The day you eat, you'll die. And you know what we read in the book of Genesis, how Eve was in the garden and there was a serpent that came up. And the serpent said, well, you can partake of the tree. And she said, no, the day that we eat, we're going to die. And the serpent said, oh, no. The day you eat of this tree, you will not die. But the day you eat thereof, you'll be like gods, knowing both good and evil. You know what the Bible says after that? That the fruit looked good into Eve's eyes. That's what it says. Folks, there's times I'll be driving down the road and I'll see a fancy house or maybe a fancy car will just pass by me. And I'll take my eyes off the road for a split second. Next thing I know, I'm in the other lane seeing a car coming or I'm about to be in a ditch. You know why? Because I've took my eyes off where they need to be. We read how Jesus walked on water one night, and Peter was afraid. You know, let's be honest. Peter was afraid, and Peter said, well, Lord, if it's really you, then bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter started walking on the water there, I do believe. But you know what? The second he started walking on the water, the storm started to get as boisterous as it could be. And Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And you know what happened after that? He started sinking. Folks, if we take our eyes off the Lord, we're going to start sinking. If we take our eyes off the Lord, we're either going to be in a ditch somewhere, we're going to get a head-on collision. But folks, keep your eyes and heart upon the things of God. And you know, we read all throughout the Bible how it points to one man. And you know who that is? The sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself. You know why? Because there is no other way that man can attain salvation other than Jesus Christ Himself. But you know, we need to be the ones to firmly stand up and point people to that man. We read in the book of Mark how Jesus was passing by one day. And there was a woman that had an issue of blood. I think the book of Mark says she's had it for 12 years. And she went to all these physicians and spent all her money and her longing on these. But it said that she just grew worse. I tell you what, folks, the reason why she grew worse is because she had a problem that the doctors couldn't see. You know what? The lost souls in this world, they have a problem that no earthly man can see. But you know, we read how she heard of Jesus passing by one day. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And you know what she did? He was crowded by that room. He was crowded by a lot of men. And she reached out and just touched the very hem of it. And Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples looked and said, well, you got all these people crowding you, but yet you just asked who touched you. What is that? He said, there's a virtue that came out. There was power that came out. You know, I tell you, there's a song that says, he's still passing by, and he still extends mercy today. And the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree still washes all our sins away. Folks, that's the man that we need to preach and point people to. That's the man that we try to serve all the days of our life. Why? Because there is one day he reached down and saved my soul. You know, there is a man in the book of, in the one of the Gospels, I think it's Book of Luke, I could be wrong. They say his hand was withered. And he went to Jesus one day and said, "Could you please help me?" And Jesus said, "Well, thy faith hath made thee whole." And his hand was as good as it could be. And you know, the great thing to me about that is it wasn't just the fact this man had faith that Jesus can make him whole, but it was the fact that Jesus bent down and touched this man and cleansed him. There's a song in our hymn books that says, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me." And the joy that just floods from my soul. I tell you what, there is something joyous about the salvation of God. And folks, we need to be joyous over that. We do. How can these people in the world tell that there is a difference from God's people and the institutions of the world? They need to know a difference between us. Paul wrote in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You believe with the heart. I believe salvation is a heart work 100% between the sinner and God. But after God saves our souls, we have something to confess about. And we need to be confessing it before a lost and dying world. I remember growing up, as that psalm says, we remember what thou hast told us. I remember growing up. Being maybe at my aunt and uncle's house, maybe at my grandparents', or maybe just some extended cousins of ours. But we'd run around, and all of a sudden I remember them looking. Each one of them said, "Micah, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me." And they took time out of their life to tell me what God has done. Folks, we need to take some time out of our busy schedule to tell people what God has done. I believe today we still serve the same God that brought up, that saved 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. You know, you remember how Paul was preaching until midnight, or was preaching at one point, and there was a man that fell from the place that he was preaching, and they said that this man had died, but Paul prayed over him, and he was alive. We serve that same God today. We serve the God that created the heavens and the earth and all things that dwell therein. And folks, I tell you what, we serve a God that took time out of his busy schedule to look down at a sinner boy and says he needs to be saved. We serve an almighty and an all-powerful God. Why do we have lack of faith? You know, there's some situations and things that pop up that I just worry and worry and worry. And my wife, and she'll hate it when I say this, but she's a big worry wart, you know. And you know what worrying is? It's having lack of faith. Having lack of faith in God. If we're worried about the church and worried about lost souls, we don't need to, because we need to have as much faith that we can, that God can still do all these wondrous works thousands and thousands of years later today, because he still can. It's in your hands, folks. Do we want a great service? Sir, have a great time in the Lord's house. Serve the Lord to the full capacity that we can and capabilities. Or do we just let it slip by? It's up to us whether or not we do these things. See, we remember and hear about some of these churches. Years and years and years ago used to be powerhouses for the Lord. And some of them today, if they did not go modern, some of them are out of existence. And how sad that is. But you see, it is in our hands today. The future of the church rests in the present members. It is in our hands today. Whether or not this church will go on, whether or not we'll have great services to go, whether or not we'll serve the Lord and see His power come down, it is in our hands. And I hope and pray that somebody got something out of this. But I pray above all that the Lord was pleased with it. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song and let us all please stand and let us think about what was said.